Revelation chapter 3, and I'll start at verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the word of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, let me pray really quick. Dear Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be among us and that you would guide us and teach us through this passage. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to see what you want us to see. Amen. So, we are going through the passage in Revelation which deals with the seven churches in Asia. And tonight we have reached the sixth church, which is in Philadelphia. Next week we'll get to our last church, Laodicea. Now, not everyone may know, but in the United States there's also an ancient, well, not as ancient, but an ancient Philadelphia. Can we get the second map? So, that's the big dot. So, this was the city where a man named Benjamin Franklin lived. And an opportunity came to this city. Franklin and a number of others took this opportunity to gain freedom from what was then Britain. It was actually in the city of Philadelphia where the colonies declared their independence. And the meetings to organize the new country were also held in this Philadelphia. The point is that the people of this modern-day Philadelphia had a great opportunity placed before them. And in this situation, the opportunity was freedom. They could have ignored that opportunity. But if they had ignored that opportunity, the world might be far different. First of all, I might be standing here speaking to you in British English. Second of all, I would probably go on and on and talk to you about how wonderful the Queen was. Yeah. But worst of all, there would be no McDonald's. So, good or bad, America is here today because of people like Benjamin Franklin and the opportunity they were given. Now, after the service, I've sort of started always making a little devotional sheet, which you can pick up at the back. Today they're green. There's actually also leftovers from two previous sermons. There's like two or three. So if you're interested in looking into God's word further about the message, you can grab these green things. The theme tonight is God opens doors of kingdom opportunity. Or you could say, Christianity is about opportunities relating to the kingdom of God. These opportunities deal centrally with the good news of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, can you grab your Bibles and look at the middle of verse 7? And that's on page 1235. It says, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David." I want you to draw your attention to the word keys, keys of David. This refers actually to the historical king of Israel, King David. And God had promised that David's kingdom would never end. He also promised that someday someone from David's family line, from that kingly line, would come as the promised Messiah, or what we call the Christ. And this Christ would rule God's kingdom forever. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus is shown as the ultimate fulfillment of this historical David. For me, one of the most frustrating things is to be locked out of my house. And it's usually when I'm in quite a rush or quite a hurry. And because, of course, what is essential to get through the door is the key. So no matter how hard you push or push your shoulder into it or turn the handle, it's not going to open. The door will still be locked. So I want to ask you, how many here have been locked out of their flat? Okay, let's hear how long were you, how many hours? 1 hour? 2 hours? 3 hours? 4 hours? 5 hours? 6 hours? 5 hours. Anne wins. Unless anyone's more than six. Okay. Well, here in our passage, we see Jesus as the one holding the key. And obviously, anyone who has the keys has the power to unlock the doors. The key here is actually the key of David, because through Jesus we gain access into David's kingdom. Why? Because God has granted Jesus alone the power to open the door to access to God. Only through Jesus can we enter into God's presence in his kingdom. Now let's look back at the end of verse 7. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. You see, the opportunity comes from Jesus himself. He is the one opening and shutting the doors. Or in more spiritual language, he is the one opening our eyes. Jesus is the only one who holds the key needed to a true and real relationship with God. So my first point is that opportunities and doors come from the hand of Jesus. He is strong and will never let us down. If he chooses to open a door, it cannot be shut. If he chooses to close a door, it cannot be opened. We can depend on him fully, and he will not let us down. But the other side of the coin is the fact that we are weak. Look with me at the middle of verse 8. It says, "I know you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." I know you have little strength. We don't exactly know how this applies to the church in ancient Philadelphia, whether they had gone through a period of persecution, whether they were just small in number, maybe they were just very tired and exhausted. But the second point is that whatever it is, that they have little strength, which is a nice way of saying they are weak. And the Bible is actually full of examples of people God has used who have little strength. If we think of King David, he wasn't always royalty. He started out as a lower-class shepherd boy, and he was the youngest of seven sons, and his family didn't even consider him worthy to go off to war. Yet this David, of little strength, defeated the Philistine champion Goliath and eventually became king. Or take, for example, Peter. In his youth, Peter wasn't chosen to be one of the discipled students of the famous rabbis. So Peter, like most boys, went into the family business, which was fishing for him. So by the time Jesus met Peter, Peter was already well beyond the normal age in which a rabbi would choose a student. But yet Jesus still chose Peter anyway. And even though Peter had a big mouth and was always saying stupid things, and even denied Jesus three times, God still used Peter. The Apostle Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians that God chooses the weak to do wonders for his kingdom. And Jesus continues to give his church doors of kingdom opportunity today. And we'll explain what those kingdom opportunities are later. But we need to know now that God uses his children who may have little wisdom and little experience. So point three is that God opens doors for the weak, but he does that through the power of Jesus. Now, the first way God opens up a door for us is found in verse 12. Can we look at verse 12 together? To him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write my name on him, the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. I will also write on him my new name. All these things that we just read are symbols for the kingdom of God, both now and into eternity. Jesus uses picture language for the gospel, and he uses the city of Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem, and finally a massive pillar in the temple. All these pictures relate to the kingdom of God, they relate to Jesus, and they relate to the gospel, or the good news of Jesus Christ. First, we have the New Jerusalem. This focuses on our citizenship in the family of God. Whether this Jerusalem will be a physical place someday, I don't know. I do know that Jesus holds the key to this city, and that through him, we will have all the rights and privileges of members or citizens of God's family. Secondly, the temple focuses on our relationship with God. In the Old Testament, the temple was the place where God and humanity meet. So it was the place where God comes down to meet the people of Israel, and the people of Israel come in and meet with God. So the temple here symbolically relates to our being in the presence of God, our being with God in Christ. And then thirdly, there's the massive pillars in the temple. A pillar is something which is obviously permanent. A pillar cannot be moved. So when we are called pillars, this focuses on the security and permanence we have in God. In Christ, we have security. We have a permanent place in his city and in his temple. All these pictures, again, relate to our situation both now and into eternity. So the first great opportunity, actually the greatest opportunity in the world, is to gain access into this kingdom of God. The fourth point is that the biggest opportunity in history is found in the good news of Jesus and his kingdom. These three symbolic descriptions, the New Jerusalem, the temple, and the pillar, all relate to how amazing it is for those who come to Jesus and come into his kingdom. But that's why the door reference here with the Church of Philadelphia is a little strange. The church group in Philadelphia, they seem to already be Christians, and they're already obviously part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And they actually also seem to be very dedicated to trusting Christ. They're given no criticism in the letter, whereas most of the other churches are given criticism. So what does it mean when Jesus says, "I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." And we can find the answer if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 is on 1184. In Colossians 4, starting with verse 3, Paul says, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should." Can you see how Paul uses this illustration of an open door to refer to opportunities to speak about the good news of Jesus Christ? So the open door symbolism means the opportunity to evangelize. So the fifth point is that Christians are given an open door to reach out to real people with the love of Jesus, to their friends, to their families, to their coworkers. And remember, the church in Philadelphia is weak, with little strength. But yet Jesus still tells them that he has taken this key and unlocked this door of opportunity. And in the same way Jesus gives you and I open doors to share the love of Jesus. Now you may be thinking, well, what specifically does an open door look like? Well, every situation is going to be different. And I can't, unfortunately, give you, three easy ways to spot it, nor can I give you four easy steps to taking that opportunity. But I do know that the Holy Spirit will help us, and He will guide us. And usually this means that the person we are relating to has an openness to the things of God. Or the Holy Spirit may even tell our conscience when there is an opening for the gospel. And this is a message that we all need to hear. All those in Christ are children of the kingdom of God. And children of the kingdom get kingdom opportunities. Let me say that again as our sixth point. Children of the kingdom get kingdom opportunities. Disciples of Jesus have doors open for them. And the greatest opportunity we can have in life is to share the love which we have found in Jesus Christ. The message to Philadelphia is also a message to all Christians everywhere. And just think, what would be different if you knew that Jesus was actually opening doors around you every day? Just imagine how you might live differently if you were confident that God was giving you these kingdom opportunities. What if the first thing when you got out of bed was that you thought, what kind of kingdom opportunities will God give me today? What doors will Christ open for me this coming week? And actually, the truth is that many people might not even desire these opportunities. Many times, we might especially have fear in terms of sharing the love of Christ. So the first step is not to feel bad about it, but the first step is simply to pray and ask God to give you the simple desire for those kingdom opportunities and the desire to act on those kingdom opportunities. Think of what happens every spring in Germany. For a limited time in Germany, a special food comes to town. White asparagus comes to the stores. And it's only available for a very short time. I mean, I'm not a big fan of it, actually. But if you're not looking and you don't take the opportunity, you'll miss out on the wonderful white asparagus. And then you'll have to wait another whole year. So in the same way, we can be looking for the doors that Jesus opens around us. So the seventh point is that we can be watchful for kingdom opportunities. Because if we don't look carefully, if we're not watching, we miss those doors. You see, the problem is normally our blindness to see the doors. If we really believe that Christ holds the key, we must then believe that he opens the doors. Jesus uses our normal life and normal interactions from day to day. And that's why verse 13 is particularly relevant. If you want to turn back to Revelation chapter 3. Verse 13 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." He who has an ear, let him hear. Do we have ears that are able to hear? Or we could say, do we have kingdom ears? Do we have kingdom eyes? Just think of all the possibilities which come to those who walk with Jesus. Because if we allow God, he will open our eyes and he will open our ears. So our eighth point is that Jesus gives us kingdom eyes and Jesus gives us kingdom ears. This way of seeing, looking at life may seem very strange and even scary. And it is strange and scary, but it's also exciting. We start to see the world around us is in desperate need of Jesus. We start to see that the people around us have questions that only Jesus can answer. We see that all people have problems that only Jesus can solve. Here's an easy example. When someone may talk about a problem with you, you can offer to pray with them or pray for them. You can say, "Hey, I don't have the answer to your problem, but can I pray for you now? Can we give the problem to God and ask for his help?" And then you can continue to pray for that person and pray for open doors. You can pray that God would open their eyes to the love of Jesus. Now, God's children also face not only opportunity, but opposition. Opposition from evil spiritual forces. Forces that are just as real as you and me. Forces that will do all they can to blind our hearts and minds to those open doors. So point 9 is that kingdom opportunities come with kingdom opposition. The message of Jesus will be opposed. The news about the love of God will face opposition. But fortunately, God is stronger than those evil forces. Jesus will keep us in his hands. When we trust in him, we start to see these open doors. Even open doors for those who have been opposing us and those who have been opposing the love of Jesus. No one is beyond the love and forgiveness of Jesus. There is always a chance that a door may be opened someday. A good example of this is the Apostle Paul. He was one of the fiercest opponents of Jesus. Paul had a passion and a hatred of Christ. He put Christians in jail, and he even killed Christians. But this angry, violent, stubborn man had a door open to him. God's love still got through to him. God still desired Paul to be forgiven. So when Paul entered into the kingdom of God, we see him transformed in the New Testament. Paul becomes the great messenger and preacher to the Gentiles who wrote the majority of our New Testament. So this shows us that God's love can overcome all opposition to the message of Jesus. Jesus, the holder of the key, can open hearts. But many times, the first step is simply to stop and pray. So the 10th point is this. You can pray about kingdom opportunities to share the good news. But more than that, you can pray that God would show you the doors that may already be open. You can ask God to give you those kingdom eyes and those kingdom ears. We can ask to see people as God sees them. We could pray for boldness or wisdom. We can pray for confidence. that what we cannot do ourselves, that the Spirit would do through us. We also need patience, though. If we want an opportunity, we should begin to pray for Jesus to open that door. But God's timing is not always our timing. Many people have been known to pray for maybe a friend or a family member. They pray and pray for years. Perhaps 20, 30 years go by until Jesus may answer that prayer and open a door of opportunity. So, if I would like to see my friends come to know the love of Jesus, I may have to pray, but pray in God's timing and pray for patience. So that's our 11th point, that we need patience as we pray. But we always have the opportunity to love each other. We don't have to wait. We daily have the opportunity to go out of our way to do good to others. We can show people the love of Christ by our kindness and the time we spend with them. When we make sacrifices, when we put the needs of others before us, we witness to the love of Jesus. A major part of our message about Jesus is our willingness to forgive others, our willingness to be merciful, our willingness to be generous. And we don't have to wait 20 years to be loving. We don't have to wait 10 years to treat people with dignity and respect. So point 12, our final point, is that daily we have the kingdom opportunity to show Christian love. Our theme tonight has been that God opens doors. God gives all Christians kingdom opportunities, and these opportunities deal with sharing the good news of the love of Jesus. So in summary, Jesus has the keys of the kingdom of God. He is strong, and he has the power and will to open doors. On the other hand, we are weak. We Christians have little strength of our own. Yet God has chosen to use his children, even his weak children, no matter how weak, for his purposes. God gives his children kingdom opportunities. Jesus gives his church open doors to share the good news. Yet we need kingdom eyes to see those opportunities. So the answer is to pray that we have those kingdom eyes, that we can see those opportunities, and then pray that we would be willing to share the love of Jesus. Pray that we can share the joy that we ourselves have experienced through Christ and through the kingdom of God. So the first and greatest opportunity in the world is to gain access into the kingdom of God. And remember the symbolism that Jesus used in the passage. The New Jerusalem, the temple, and the massive pillar. All these pictures serve as wonderful motivation, and not only motivation, but promises, which give us encouragement and hope. Encouragement and hope dealing with kingdom opportunities and the wonderful kingdom of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you so much that you are a God of opportunity. Thank you, Lord, that Christ Jesus holds the key. Thank you, Lord, that you offer your kingdom. You offer us citizenship. You offer that we may enter into your family. You offer that we may be forgiven. You offer that we may be reconciled. Reconciled to you, Lord, and reconciled to the people who you meant us to be, Lord. I pray, Lord, tonight for each and every person here that you would give us kingdom eyes, that you would give us kingdom ears. Help us to see the doors. Help us to see the opportunities. Help us to see people the way you see people. Give us patience, Lord. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.